sulfur baths, which are steaming hot, and then without changing your clothes, you go in the temple. So we started kirtan, and in the midst of the kirtan, out of a hot sunny day, suddenly dark clouds formed, and within minutes, there was a blizzard, like I've never seen in Chicago. Himalayan blizzards are a different species of blizzards. It was so hard, and the snow was so big. It was like blankets of snow falling from the sky. And within minutes, it was above our ankles, and we were still chanting, and it became freezing cold. Wondering if any of those devotees while chanting the holy names was wishing to see snow. Now in those days, I don't know today, but there was no heated places to stay, just little shacks. And there was no way to keep warm. And nobody brought any warm clothes because it was 100 degrees in Rishikesh. So it was freezing cold, massive snow, and it caused an avalanche so that the only road that went up there was blocked and no one could come or go. Hare Krishna. So we spent the night and everyone was trembling and everyone was freezing. And everyone was wondering, when can we get out of here? And I said, you wanted to see snow? So much beautiful snow all around. It's a long story, but I will end there. One person who was a guest, he was just a relative of one of the devotees, the father. Very wealthy man, actually. In the night, he had a heart attack because it was just so much stress to be so cold. He was in his 60s, and there was no doctors. This is Badrinath. There's no hospitals, no clinics. He had a heart attack. He was asking, is there any doctor? Is there any doctor? There was no doctor. So one of our devotees, Srinathji Prabhu, he came in and said, my name is Dr. Desai. I am a doctor. What he didn't tell him is he was a doctor because he got a PhD in chemical engineering. He said, oh, you are a doctor. Please help me. And he said, well, there's no medicine, there's no hospitals, and there's no ambulances. There's only one thing. The holy name of Krishna. Promise the Lord that you will chant every day, one round, and chant for the rest of the night, and you will be it better. So he chanted, he made the promise, and he chanted, and he got better. And then about a couple days later, the military came with big machinery and cleared the road. And then the devotees were praying and wishing and longing to never have to see snow again. But that was Lord Nrsimha's appearance day. It was very special. So I would like to say something about Lord Nrsimha Dev for your pleasure today. With your permission. The great Vaishnava poet Govinda Das, he sings, Bajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya charanara vindare Durlabha mana vachanama satsange Rohe Babo Sindhure Abhaya charanaravindare. It is a prayer to one's own mind. My dear mind, please always remember, in love and devotion, Srinandanandana, Lord Krishna. Because in that state, one becomes fearless. One of the greatest, most prominent of all experiences in this world is fear. Fear of failure. Fear of poverty. Fear of defeat. Disease. Dishonor. Fear of death. Dukalaya mashashvatam. In this world, because it is a place where everything is temporary, we do not know what will happen from one moment to the next. There are so many examples. Just recently in Bombay, hardly 5 to 10 minutes from our temple in Chaupati, all the terrorist activities were going on. No one expected it. Some of our devotees were telling me, all day long people were coming and telling me different stories of how they were directly or indirectly affected. Some their teachers were killed. Some their relatives were killed. Some their best friends were killed. Some were there, hiding and running for 9 hours in the Taj Mahal Hotel before they finally escaped, and the people that helped them escape were killed. Others were slipping through blood and tripping over dead corpses in the Shivaji, Chhatrapati Shivaji terminus, railway station. Another devotee who works for the police was fighting terrorists for 3 days. Another devotee was in the Oberoi Hotel, very expensive restaurant, at a meeting with a table of people. The meeting was supposed to go on from 8 till 10. He got sick and left at 9. And at 9:30 the terrorists came and everyone in his table was killed. People are telling me these stories. Who expects these things? Who expected tsunami? Over 200,000 people lost their lives. Or earthquakes. Or bombs. Or heart attacks. We're not trying to focus on negativity. We're actually trying to focus on something very positive. But in order to really focus on what is positive, it's very important to understand what the nature of this world really is. Padam padam yad vipadam nitesham. There is danger at every step. The great king Yudhisthira was asked by the Yaksha, what is the most amazing thing in all of creation? And he said, the most amazing thing is everywhere people are seeing others dying, others being injured, others losing, And no one is thinking that it's going to happen to me. So yes, there are so many reasons to be fearful. And so many people, on one level or another, live in fear. Most of the industries in the world are profiting because of a fear. The medical industry. Actually, the cosmetic industry. People are afraid of not looking nice. The vitamin industry. Even the transportation industry. People are afraid of not getting to where they want to get to. People are afraid of not having as nice a clothes as others. Fear is an integral part of people going to school. Afraid of no profession, no income. How much parents fear for their children. Yes, there's so many things that we don't really recognize, but actually are motivating force in so many just common activities in our life is based on some sort of fear. But Abhaya Charanaravindare, one who takes shelter of Krishna is without fear. We would like to analyze this principle from different perspectives. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, Najayate Mriyate Vakadachya, that for the soul, there is no birth, there is no death. The soul is not slain when the body is slain. The soul is eternal. What is death? Death is simply a transformation. Actually, material elements, according to science, matter is not destroyed. It's just changed. It's just transformed. This body we have, no one can actually destroy the body. They could just apparently destroy what it appears to be today. But if you burn it, it becomes ashes. But the elements are there. It's just become from flesh and blood to ashes. Or it becomes dust. Or if birds eat it, it becomes their stool. So next time you look in the mirror, you can think about this. What is your destiny? So the body is not destroyed. Our conception of destruction is just a change of form. It's like you boil water, it evaporates. It doesn't, the water's not gone, it's just in different form. And the soul is only the witness within the vehicle of this body. We're seeing through our eyes, hearing through our nose, tasting through our tongue, smelling, and we're hearing through our ears, smelling through our nose, and we're thinking through our brains and feeling and loving through our hearts. But who are we? We are the soul. Indestructible, a part of God. So why do we fear? Aham Brahmasmi. One level of fearlessness is to realize, to have direct experience of the eternal nature of the soul. Just like an example. Today is below 0 degrees outside. Now, if you're in your nice warm house and you're looking out your window and you have the heat very comfortable, so you're sitting in your casual clothes and you're looking out the window and the snow is pouring down and the weather is freezing and everybody's slippery around and you see people outside crashing their vehicles and you see people walking their dogs and because they have to get their dog out of the house and they're just pulling the dog, come back, and the dog's lifting his leg to do what he has to do and come on, come on. Yes. So you're seeing so many people are having so many dramas out there in the weather. But as for me, I'm everything very nice in here. Because you're seen. But you're in a safe position yourself. So the soul is always in a safe position. But we're looking out the window of the eyes. If we think we're this body, we're outside in the cold. If we realize who we really are, we're just witnessing it all. But we're very happy because the soul is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And as far as fear of death and old age, a Brahman-realized person is fearless of those things because he knows it has nothing to do with me. Vasamsujananiyatavihaya just has to do with this body, which is like a set of clothes. But for those on the path of bhakti, the concept of fearlessness is much deeper and goes far beyond the conception of I am eternal and indestructible. For a devotee, we are fearless by the power of love. An impersonal philosopher who realizes the truth is fearless because of his or her own eternal existence. On the path of bhakti, it is because of love. Because a devotee feels the love of Krishna. That unlimited, intimate, ecstatic love of God. And feels totally protected by that love. I'll give an example, a worldly example. I have a godbrother and very dear friend. And I remember, actually we were brahmacharis together. But then he got married. And he had a beautiful little daughter. And I remember in the temple room, this devotee, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He would lift up his little daughter. She was just a little bigger than a baby. And he would throw her high in the air, really high. And then she would just come down, whoop, and he would catch her. And then he'd throw her up again. And she'd come down, and I was in anxiety. I was afraid, because it was a marble floor. If he misses her, if she hits the floor, she's just going to get squashed. But he would throw her 10 times in a row, way, way up. And the amazing thing is as she would be going up, And as she would be coming down, she was smiling and laughing. She was completely fearless. Why? Because feeling the love of her father, she was being given shelter. She had confidence, 100% confidence that my father is going to catch me. The rest of us didn't have that confidence. But she had that faith. And therefore, little child is easily afraid. She was laughing and smiling the whole time. Because she was finding shelter in the love of her father. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna tells in Gita, I am the supreme father, the supreme mother of all living beings. And as our parents loved us, Krishna, he is the supreme reservoir of all love. And his love is infallible. And as we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to us. So as we take shelter of the Lord, we experience the infinite love of Krishna. And we have complete confidence in the love of Krishna. The great Vaishnava Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Maro virago bijo icha tohar Nitya dasa pratituha adhikar. My dear Lord, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. It really makes no difference because I am your servant on condition. If I die, I know that you're going to give me something better. I'm with you. That's all that matters. And if I live, I'm with you. Because I have complete faith in your love. There's theoretical faith. But where there is love, there is the realization, the direct experience that Sarva Bhuta, that Krishna is our well-wishing friend. There's an example of an elephant, the most mighty animal on earth. When the elephant tries to cross the raging current of a river, the elephant may be swept away and killed because the current is more powerful than himself. But then we have a little fish. Little fish half the size of my finger. What is the competition between the fish and the elephant? If they were going to have a wrestling match, the elephant, without a thought, would just one step and the fish is finished. But in the same river, the fish is swimming across the stream, swimming downstream, swimming upstream, swimming in circles in the stream, jumping up and diving down in the stream, completely free and happy. Because the fish has taken shelter of the river. And the elephant, with no power at all, with all his power, was powerless because He had not learned to take shelter of the river. With this thought, let us examine the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu performed years of tapasya, of austerities. And through that, and his practice of yoga, extreme yoga, he attained supernatural powers. We always have our free will. Whether we have strength, whether we have power or wealth, we can use it for destructive purposes or we can use it for constructive purposes. There are many examples of great yogis who were the most compassionate, loving, gentle people who humbly served all living beings. And there are other examples of great yogis who were evil, terrorists, who used their powers for their own egoistic purposes. Hiranyakashipu conquered the worlds. He assembled massive armies. He was undefeatable. Everyone feared him. He had a little son, Prahlad, who was not even like that little fish compared to the elephant of Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad, when he was in the womb of his mother, heard Narada Muni speak about bhakti, about love for God. And he was so attractive that he offered his heart in devotion to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocated by filling him with love. And how that love made him fearless. It wasn't just about aham brahmasmi. It wasn't just, I'm not my body, I'm the eternal soul, you can do anything you want with me. It was more than that. For Prahlad it was, I love Krishna, and Krishna loves me, and I feel total shelter in that love. Nothing can harm me. Death cannot harm me. Vishayavini vartante niraharasya varja param drisvani vartate. That one experiences the higher taste, and the highest taste is the taste of prema, or divine love for God. Then we become transcendental to all the dualities of this world. One day, the most powerful conqueror in the world was sitting on his throne, and he called little Prahlad, come and sit on my lap. Prahlad was so sweet, he offered his dandavats to his father. And with folded palms, he gave him all respect. And then he climbed up on his father's lap. His father was huge, and he was just a little child. Father embraced him. Oh, my son, tell me. He had tears of affection in his eyes. What is the best subject that you learned in school? Prahlad loved his father so much. Instead of answering his question, he told him what was in his heart instead. But my dear father, oh best of the demons, and believe it or not, that was a compliment. He said, you are living in a deep, dark ditch. horrible, abominable pit where there's no water. The pit of material illusion. And no one can help you unless you take shelter of the Lord. You should go to Vrindavan. You should worship Krishna. That's your only hope. You're in an abominable condition. Hiranyakashipu was outraged. Hiranyakashipu, because of his ego, you see, greed, envy, lust, these qualities are like fire. The more they consume, the hungrier they become. He was such a tyrant that he considered anyone who wasn't totally loyal and surrendered to him was his enemy. There was nothing neutral. Either you're surrendered to him and obedient to him, and he has complete confidence in that, or you are his enemy. That's all. And it must be destroyed. There have been many dictators, tyrants, and other people with this terribly insecure complex who gained great powers through the history of our human society. He was one of those. For him, if you weren't surrendered to him, you were a competitor. And God was his greatest competitor. That was his illusion. He threw Prahlad to the floor, screamed at him. And when Hiranyakashipu screams, it's not like you or me screaming. Imagine. He's all alone, face to face with this gigantic person. And he's screaming at him. And he's trying to do everything he can to change Prahlad. But Prahlad's so honest. He says, "My dear father, you are such a fallen condition. You're so addicted to your senses and your false ego. Nobody can help you. Your only hope is to take the dust of the feet of the pure devotees of Krishna and bathe your body with that dust. Humble yourself to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And follow this path of devotional service by chanting the holy names, remembering and hearing about the Lord." Hiranyakashipu decided he must be killed. Prahlad was thrown in pits of snakes. He was thrown under the ocean. He was thrown off mountains. He was thrown in blazing fire. He was rolled under stampeding elephants. He was stabbed with tridents. Everything Hiranyakashipu tried to do to kill him. Prahlad was not afraid. Five-year-old little boy, a skinny, weak little body. He had no fear. Not only was it Hiranyakashipu, but Hiranyakashipu had the most powerful men in his army trying to destroy Prahlad. Prahlad didn't even pray for protection. Now, we would consider ourselves very advanced if when danger comes, we spontaneously pray to Krishna to protect us. Yes? I was driving in the snow. I remember seeing one devotee. Well, I didn't see, but he told me. He was in the Appalachian Mountains driving and slipped in the ice and started rolling down a mountain in his car. And the whole time, he was screaming out, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
And he rolled all the way down the mountain, and the car got all crashed up, and he just opened the door and got out and walked away. He wasn't even harmed. And he told us he was praying to Krishna from the core of his heart to protect him all the way. So that's wonderful. But Prahlad is even more wonderful. Because he didn't even pray for protection. He was just offering his heart to Krishna in love. Mani Krishna Raki Ki Raki Krishna Mani. Krishna, if you want to kill me, then take me wherever you want me to go. I'm yours. And if you want to protect me, tell me what you want me to do. I'm yours. He was simply offering his love to Krishna. Like that little girl. When she was thrown in the air, she wasn't praying, Father, protect me! She had no fear. She was laughing. She knew that her father loved her. And she had that innocent, childlike heart of feeling total shelter in the love of her father. Now, if you or me or anyone else threw that same little girl that high, she would be screaming. She would be frantic. But her father, she's giggling. Prahlad was like that little girl. Whether he was thrown in the sky or under oceans. He was experiencing Krishna's love. And in that love, he realized that he was indestructible. In the intimacy of that love, he transcended fear. I leave it to you to decide which is a deeper, more intimate experience of fearlessness. To think that I have enough money and I have enough strength, so I will defend myself? Or to realize I am the eternal soul, nothing can help harm me? Or to be like Prahlad and just give yourself completely to the love of the Supreme Lord? Essentially, there's two things in this world. There's fear and there's love. Where does fear come from? It can only exist in darkness. Just like when it's completely dark at night and you can see absolutely nothing and you're somehow in the middle of nowhere. And it's really cold. And it's snowing. And you can't see anything. But you can't stay there because it's just too cold. You can't just lay down or you'll freeze to death. Now when you walk, you don't know which direction you're going. You may walk into a tree. You may fall into a ditch. There may be an animal or a killer, a criminal who can attack you at any second and you can't see. Isn't it a fearful condition? Most thieves operate at night because the darkness is very helpful. Godhead is light. Nescience is darkness. In ignorance, of who we really are and our relationship with the Lord, it is like darkness. If you turn away from the sun, you see a shadow. What's in the shadow? Darkness. But if you turn away from the shadow toward the sun, you're in light. Little Prahlad. After his father tried everything, he was even more furious. He couldn't destroy this little child. He said, "Where do you get your power from?" Prahlad said, "From the same place you get your power. From the same place everyone gets their power. From Krishna." That was the worst thing that he could have said to his father from a material perspective. But from a spiritual perspective, it was perfect. He was saying it out of compassion. His father became absolutely furious. "Where is this Krishna? Where is this God that you're talking about?" Prahlad said, "He's everywhere, Father." "Is he in this pillar?" "He's everywhere, in the pillar also." And his father smashed the pillar with his fist, drew his gigantic sword, and rushed toward Prahlad to sever his head. And little Prahlad was looking at him with compassion, not with fear, not with hatred. He was looking at him like a loved one who was really sick. And to protect the word of Prahlad, the Supreme Lord Narasimhadev appeared from the pillar. And very soon he ended Hiranyakashipu's illusion. After Hiranyakashipu was finished, the Lord asked Prahlad to accept a benediction. "Anything you want, I will give you." Little Prahlad, with folded hands, first he presented himself according to his heart. He was so humble. He said, "I have no qualifications. I was born in a very, very bad family, a very materialistic family, and therefore I am very materialistic. I have so many bad qualities. It's only by the grace of my Gurudev, Narada Muni, that I have learned how to take shelter of you. And it is only by your grace that you have protected me. Otherwise, I have no good qualities." He had no ego. This is very instructive. To the degree you have ego, you cannot take shelter of Krishna. And to the degree you take shelter of Krishna, to that degree you can experience his love. Krishna's love is infinitely for everyone. Samoham Sarvabhutam. But we realize his love according to our humble approach to him. as long as we think I am great, then can we really take shelter of anything? When you're like that little fish, you can take shelter. Because you realize you're completely dependent. Hanuman was a very powerful warrior. How many of you have heard the story of Hanuman? Please say Hari Bol. Hanuman was the ultimate warrior. Out of his love for Ram, he was asked, bring this message to Sita. He jumped over an ocean. And on the way, the most unbelievable obstacles faced him. Simika, Surasa. And he overcame all those incredible obstacles. And only grew in his devotion and his determination. Then he met Lankini. Then he gave the message to Sita. But he wanted to do some extra service. So he started destroying the Ashoka Gardens. And Ravana heard about it and sent his greatest sons, his generals. They all fought with Hanuman. And he single-handedly, they had tremendous weapons. He didn't have any weapon. He was just uprooting trees and throwing them at people. And he destroyed the armies single-handedly. But then he decided, I want to see what this Ravana is, and I want to compassionately give him another chance. So he allowed himself to be tied up as a prisoner and brought before Ravana. And Hanuman told Ravana that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just give back his wife and Ram will protect you. But if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. And your whole dynasty will be destroyed. He was trying to help. He loved Ravana. He loved everyone. So he was a devotee. Ravana was so angry, just like Hiranyakashipu when Prahlad spoke to him. Now, from a physical perspective, there's a big difference between Hanuman and Prahlad. But they both had the same strength, because they both had the power of God behind them. Ravana put Hanuman's tail on fire. And Hanuman... Now, I know you don't have a tail, but if you did and somebody put it on fire, it would be a crisis, because he was tied up with ropes. But Hanuman just broke the ropes and started jumping from building to building to building and used that fire on his tail as an opportunity to do extra service. This is bhakti. Whatever situation you're thinking, what opportunity is this providing me? Even the greatest calamities, what opportunity is this giving me? There's always an opportunity if you look for it. We can just lament, why is this happening to me? Not fair. Or we could be thinking, this is an opportunity. Maybe an opportunity to become stronger by rising above obstacles. Maybe an opportunity to sit, to chant the holy names with deeper feeling. Maybe an opportunity. A good business person doesn't get depressed. When everything's going wrong, he sees an opportunity that must be here and seizes the opportunity and profits. Yes? Anything in this world, a good athlete is looking for opportunities. That's why he's a champion. Success in this world is searching and finding opportunities even in the bleakest moments. and a devotee, like Hanuman. His tail was on fire. That's a big crisis. He was thinking, how can I serve Krishna in this situation? How can I serve Ram in this situation? And he jumped from palace to palace to palace to palace, and every time he jumped, the palace set on fire. And he turned around, and the entire city of Lanka was blazing. And he was laughing. And then he yelled out in a tumultuous voice, he said, Ravana! He yelled so everybody in the city could hear. He had that power. He roared out, Ravana! I am just the insignificant, humble little servant of Ram, and you see what I have done. If you don't return Sita, Ram is going to come personally. Hanuman is very happy. So, then he returned. And when Ram heard the news of what Hanuman had done for him, so many risks, so many obstacles, so many inconveniences, Hanuman bowed his head at Ram's lotus feet. And he didn't start saying, this is what I did and this is who I am. He gave all credit to Lord Ramchandra. Hanuman was completely humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this verse, Trinarapi sunichena taror ipase hishyuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Who can chant the holy name and taste the nectar of the name? That person who is more humble than a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Hanuman was a personification of all those qualities. That's why he derived such power when he chanted the holy name. He had the power of Ram behind him, and he was never proud because he knew it was the power of Ram. Lord Ram was so pleased with him. Sri Ramchandra embraced Hanuman and wept tears of love for his devotee. And Hanuman wept, experiencing the shelter of Lord Rama's love. Yes, little 5-year-old Prahlad, we don't find in any situation in this story of when he was a little child, he never fought. He had no power to do those things. He just gave himself like that little girl. In every situation, my Lord, I'm yours, and I have complete shelter in your love. And Hanuman was battling and fighting, and later he was carrying mountains and building 800 mile long and 100 mile wide bridges with rocks. They were both just humbly loving God and feeling loved by God and empowered by that love. Nothing empowers a person greater than the love of God. There is no power in the entire universe that can compare. Hitler was powerful with his armies, but where is he today? He died a miserable death under the ground like a rat. There were great powerful athletes of the past, but where are they today? And where will the champions of today be in 100 years? Alexander the Great. Many conquerors were there. But ultimately, they're all conquered by time. But when you're empowered by love, by Krishna's love, because that love is eternal, that love is the most powerful thing in all of creation. In fact, love conquers Krishna, who's all-powerful. Krishna's bhaktivatsala. He's always the property of his devotee. Krishna's conquered by the love of his devotee. And Krishna reciprocates by conquering his devotee with his love. The path of bhakti is all about being conquered. We want to be conquered by Krishna's love, and Krishna wants to be conquered by our love. And when we are conquered by Krishna's love, we become unconquerable. Because Krishna's love is supreme. Bajahurema Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. When we take shelter of the Nandanandana, that beautiful little cowherd boy who's the son of Sri Nanda Maharaj, we become fearless. Why? Because we feel complete shelter, complete satisfaction, unlimited fulfillment in any situation in that love. Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names with love. He was told, stop chanting and you can be free. Keep chanting and we're going to kill you. We're going to torture you and kill you. He was a prisoner, surrounded by guards and the king. And he laughed at them. He said, you could cut my body into millions of pieces. Doesn't matter. I'll always be chanting Hare Krishna. And they did. They beat him through 22 marketplaces. Beat him and beat him and beat him. And all the while, he was getting beaten. He was completely satisfied. He was beyond birth and beyond death. Because he was feeling Krishna's love. And he was so humble. And ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and protected him. This is what Srila Prabhupada has come to invite us to experience. The spiritual world is within your heart. God is within our heart. And wherever Krishna is the kingdom of God. In the Bible it is said, the kingdom of God is within. We have to seek the kingdom of God within. By taking shelter of the Lord. By taking shelter of His holy name. By taking shelter of His devotees. And to the degree we learn to be humble and take shelter and serve without selfish motivations, we can experience Krishna's love. So Prahlad Maharaj humbled himself and he was asked, any benediction, I want to give you something, Narasingha Dev said. I want to give you something. And Prahlad said, if I ask anything from you, then I'm not a devotee. I'm just doing business with you. If I expect anything in return for my lifetime of service, then I'm just a businessman. I'm not a devotee. That was his standard. So he said, "My Lord, please, I'm a materialistic person. Don't tempt me like this." But the Lord wanted to give him something. So what did Prahlad ask for? "My father..." He was so cruel. He committed so many sins that he is destined to suffer unbelievable miseries due to his karma. The one benediction I ask of you, forgive him. Free him of all of his karma and give him liberation, mukti. What could Lord Narasimhadev do? He said, "Prahlad, I've already liberated him. Not only that, I've liberated 21 generations of your ancestors, past and future, because of your love for me." And then Prahlad asked for something else. Here he is, so totally fearless. He's saying, "I am very much afraid." He wasn't afraid of being thrown in fire or armies hitting him with tridents. He wasn't afraid of being thrown in pits of poisonous snakes. Now the rest of us, if we're walking through the forest and we see a poisonous snake, are you afraid? If you see a cobra and he lifts his hoods to greet you, psst. Be honest, will you be afraid? Well, Prahlad was thrown in pits of thousands of cobras. He was thrown right on top of them. And he was smiling like that little girl. Because he felt the complete shelter of Krishna. But he confessed to Lord Narasimhadev, "I'm very much afraid of material existence." But this is something very, very deep and profound. His fear of material existence caused him to go deeper and deeper and deeper to take shelter of the Lord. So it wasn't really fear at all. It was just an impetus to go deeper into experiencing Krishna's love and becoming fearless. He said, "Please give me the benediction, I'll never forget you." And I'm happy to go through all kinds of tribulations and difficulties in this material world, as long as I can be an instrument of your love to enlighten others to love you and to feel your love. He didn't ask for anything except to serve, to be an instrument of compassion, even in the most difficult, dangerous conditions. Abhaya Charanaravindade. We cannot imitate Prahlad or Haridas Thakur, but we can understand the principle. And that same benediction is there for all of us. It's not difficult to access the infinite ecstatic love of Krishna. Is simple and easy. It's just that we're so conditioned to complications that it seems difficult. It was difficult for Draupadi to try to protect herself by holding on to that sari. Yes, that's difficult. But to raise her arms and say, "Hey, Krishna," is very easy. That's all we have to do. Raise our arms And with an innocent, sincere heart, take shelter of the Lord, who is always with us, and he is especially accessible, his love, through his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.